Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Reid Graff. On the second anniversary of the Arizona mass shooting that almost took her life, and almost a month after the shooting at an elementary school in Newtown, Connecticut, that claimed the lives of 20 children, former Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords announced today the formation of a political action committee aimed at countering the influence of the gun lobby in Washington. According to the group's website, its goal is to encourage elected officials to stand up for solutions to prevent gun violence and protect responsible gun ownership by communicating directly with the constituents that elect them. Today, we want you to communicate with us your solutions to preventing gun violence. We want your thoughts on the influence of the gun lobby on U.S. policy. Give us a call. The lines are open, 1-800-348-2551. That's 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments on the Vox Pop section of our website, WAMC.org, on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WAMC radio, and by tweeting us at WAMC Vox Pop. And the phone number always works, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. So Gabby Giffords and her husband Mark Kelly have launched a battle against guns, a lobby group, if you will. And he had an op-ed today in the USA Today. This is a quote from that. Special interests purporting to represent gun owners but really advancing the interests of an ideological fringe have used big money and influence to cow Congress into submission rather than working to find the balance between our rights and the regulation of a dangerous product. These groups have cast simple protections for our communities as existential threats to individual liberties rather than conducting a dialogue. They threaten those who divert from their orthodoxy with political extinction. That, again, from an op-ed in USA Today by Gabrielle Giffords and Mark Kelly, who are launching a lobby group to advocate for what they would consider to be responsible gun ownership and gun control to some extent. They want to require background checks for the private sales of firearms. Politicians great and small have said almost explicitly, we're going for the guns. From the president to Governor Cuomo, Dianne Feinstein of California wants to reinstate the ban on assault weapons. There was an interesting piece on CNN's website about all this, and there was a quote from a Joshua Boston, who wrote in a CNN iReport, I own the guns I own because I acknowledge mankind's shortcomings instead of pretending like they don't exist. This is from CNN. They are evil men. There are evil men in this world, and there may just be a time when I need to do the unthinkable to protect me or my family. Well, there's that angle as well. And we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-348-2551. To the phones we go. It's George in East Hampton. George, thanks for waiting.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay. I would just like to say that I think most reasonable gun owners are in favor of reasonable, rational gun control. But since the shooting in Newtown, I've heard people talk about outright bans, which never worked. Prohibition would be the best example of that.
Mm.
The previous assault weapons ban really didn't ban anything but cosmetic on guns. You know, get rid of the flash suppressor, which has no effect on the power of the weapon.
Okay.
Get rid of the pistol grip, which really doesn't have any effect on the power of the weapon. You can eliminate those things. You're going to have exactly the same gun with exactly the same amount of power.
Right.
What we need to do is make sure that the guns don't get into the hands of insane people. If you take a look at all of the shootings, all of these mass shootings that have occurred recently, you're talking about crazy people. The guy in Colorado is clearly insane. And even if he didn't have the guns, he built dozens of bombs. He could have easily blown up the theater. So changing the tools or getting rid of the tools isn't really your problem.
What about extended magazines? We hear a lot about that. Extended ammo cartridges, if you will, for weapons.
Yes. And to tell you the truth, any weapon that is going to accept a magazine will accept an extended magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you go around collecting all of the extended magazines that are already in the public domain, and there are millions of them out there, you know, they still exist.
Yeah.
You can say that in future, okay, you're not going to be able to purchase them. But the previous one simply outlawed everything made after 1968. there were lots and lots of weapons and magazines made before 1968.
Yeah.
And you can still buy them. All it's going to do is raise the price of them. Friends of mine who sell guns for a living say that they've completely sold out of their stock of guns since the Newtown shooting because of the talk of the banning of weapons.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, you know, if politicians are truly serious about something like that, then they would have to go get them. And I think that opens up an awful Pandora's box.
Yeah. It's going to be impossible to do because millions of those guns aren't registered. You don't even know who has them.
Mm.
Some states, you don't even need a firearms permit in order to have a firearms. And that's one thing that should be changed. If, for example, the guy in Colorado had to go through a background check, such as we have in Massachusetts, they could have detected that he was crazy. They could have prevented him from getting the firearms permit.
Well, hey, George, thanks a lot for making some cogent points here as we kick off the show. Let's go to Jack in Worthington, Mass. Jack, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Just a couple of brief comments, but mostly it has to do with what Gifford is talking about is, you know, getting some public awareness of things. And I think that a lot of people, if they even knew it, and probably don't, the National Institute of Health is absolutely banned by Congress from correlating or putting together any information about gun-related deaths and deaths in the country. I mean, they're banned by it. The NRA put that through, and it makes it almost impossible to build a valid argument against gun control or for gun control.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. And it, you know, I mean, those things can be changed, but the nature of politics, the previous caller is probably correct. You're not going to stop it. It's just like really crazy that these things should be out there in the public domain. And, you know, if it were up to me, I think they should go out and collect the automatic weapons.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Hey, Jack,
thanks a lot
for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Yuri in Saratoga Springs. Yuri, you're on.
Yes, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I'm a father of the son who was killed 2 years ago, two days before Christmas, in Saratoga Springs.
Mm.
He went to his friend, you know, to play games, you know, like video games and stuff. And after they got bored, his friend showed his father's pistol, you know, and he was, you know, very proud of this thing, cool thing. And he pointed the gun at my son, and he squeezed the trigger, you know, and he killed him instantly, thinking that the gun was unloaded.
Yeah.
Well, there's a situation when, if you look at the last events, we're talking about don't give the guns to crazy people, but most of the time it's not even their gun. It's
true.
It's a mother's gun, you know, or the neighbor's gun, like with the story with the guy who put his house on fire and then start shooting at the firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in many ways, I don't want to waste your time, and I understand that the country is totally divided practically by half on this issues. In my personal opinion, responsible ownership is an oxymoron. And what I propose, just to, if we cannot touch the holy cow, which called Second Amendment, then we can leave Second Amendment, we can leave the rights for those who still want the gun. But hear me out.
Okay.
When we own the vehicle, we have license, registration, and liability insurance as a must.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, Constitution doesn't say that, but we came to this, and all the arguments for that could be used for the same situation with the gun owners. Instead of license, it's going to be permit, and it has to be registration. And no matter how you buy the gun, from the gun show or from the store or from individual, like we could buy cars.
Yeah.
We even can use Department of Motor Vehicles, per se. You know, just call them Department of Motor Vehicles and Firearms Registration Office.
But, I mean, you know, the guns, as I understand it, in the Newtown tragedy, were registered guns. They were legally owned guns. So
don't forget. I'm saying permit registration and liability insurance.
Mm.
You know why liability insurance? First of all, why the guns are so cheap? pack of cigarettes cost $1 20 years ago. Now it's 12.
Yeah,
15,
tell me about
right?
it. Yeah.
Yeah, so with the price of the gun is equal to the price of the carton of cigarettes, there's something wrong with that. Why we're taxing cigarettes and don't tax the guns? Tax the guns so they will at least cost, you know, not $100 like it is now,
yeah.
but $1,000. And when you purchase the gun, you must have liability insurance, which is another couple of $1,000 a year. So if you're going to pay this kind of money, then you really have to look and say, wait a minute, I live in a trailer, for instance. Do I really have something irreplaceable in my household that I have to protect?
Okay.
So I have to shoot somebody who's trying to steal it from me? I mean, seriously, look at this. If you buy a gun with $1,000 and the liability insurance attached to this, you will think twice before you buy a gun. Because now people buy guns because they cost nothing and there's no absolutely responsibilities attached. When they say responsible gun owners, the guy who was the father of the boy who killed my son,
yeah.
he was a responsible gun owner. He served the country. He was in the Marine or something.
Wait a minute. Now, hold it. Now, if he was a responsible gun owner, the child wouldn't be able to get the gun, right?
Yes, but the point is, you know what happened? The boy got nothing because he was a minor, so he got away with murder.
Hey, Yuri,
his father got a misdemeanor and paid $120. You know,
yeah.
That's what bothers me. When you say responsible person, first thing that those responsible people do, they call the lawyers.
Yeah, hey,
and they try to protect themselves. So where is the responsibility, really?
Yuri, thank you very much, and I'm so
right.
happy that you're here, but so sorry to hear your sad story.
For letting me say that, liability insurance, one more time.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's take a short break. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Then we'll check in with our producer, Patrick Donges, and find out what the social media has to say.
Support for WAMC comes from Dam Cafe and Deli, Saugerties, New York, serving breakfast and lunch with chef-created soups, salads, vegetarian options, and homemade desserts. Catering services available, thedamcafeandeli.com. Lexington Vacuum, Albany, New York, featuring Miele, Simplicity, Dyson, Electrolux, Vapori Vapor Cleaning, Sales, Service, and Repairs, LEXIVAC.com. And Little Wolf Architecture, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, working with customers to design natural and energy-resilient homes and renovations within the regional landscape. Featuring passive house design, littlewolfarch.com.
one 800 348 2551 is the telephone number. It's Vox Pop today, and we welcome our producer, Patrick Donges. Hello, Patrick.
Hi, Ray. How you doing?
Good. You have some Twitters or tweets?
Yes.
Or
we have a Facebook comment here from Marsha on Facebook. Says, I think that the most important thing is parents being parents! Exclamation point. Mm. Too many are not there raising their kids, allowing them to sit in front of computers, videos, game boxes, etc., being self-indulgent and not taking their parenting responsibility seriously at all or not enough, and not bonding at an early crucial time. And we've talked about this, I think, probably before and after at least the Newtown incident.
Yeah.
You have young kids, and we've talked about, you know, kids playing certain video games and keeping them out of their hands.
It's always a concern.
Right.
When all their friends have it, it's even worse.
Right, right.
And it's a very difficult fine line, but I think the point is, well, Marcia's point is extremely well made. I mean, parents have to be the primary...
The gatekeeper.
Exactly. Right. Patrick, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ray.
You can get in on all of our social media via
facebook.com/WAMC radio. You can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop, or if you go to the Vox Pop page of WAMC.org, there's a place where you can comment there as well.
Thanks, Pat. Oh, hang on. This just in.
Another Matthew on Facebook says, it's imperfect, but I'd start with limiting the size of the clips people can purchase and ban the clones of military police weapons.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thanks,
Thank you very much. And let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Terry, Pino Island, where are you calling from?
Pine Island.
Oh, Pine Island. It looked like an O. It's an E. All right, you're on.
Pine Island.
How are you?
Hi, I'm an artist, and for 40 years or more, I've been using weapons to make paintings.
Okay.
So it's a form of free speech expression. And I just recently had six of... I use guns that are photographic, unusual looking.
Okay.
And I had six of them banned because of the way they looked, and I had to turn them in because they looked dangerous.
So these were guns you owned legally, and then you were forced to turn them in?
Yeah. They were shotguns that looked like what you would call an assault weapon, but I'm not sure what that is. But anyway, they looked nasty and were very photogenic.
Mm-hmm.
They were banned because of the way they looked. They did nothing different than any ordinary hunting shotgun.
Okay.
And so as a consequence, I had to move my way of making the art to Vermont, where nobody cares. You can have whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
In Vermont, because in Vermont, you are responsible for what you do, not what you own.
I appreciate that call, my friend. You know, I don't want to get on the soapbox, but I think there's much bigger problems at play here than gun control. There are some serious issues here about how society is going and where we're going, and a loss of a moral compass. And that's all I will say, and we go back to you. Jason and Wilton. Jason, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I had a couple concerns. You know, obviously the previous caller before this last gentleman, he had, you know, he has very personal, you know, experience in a bad way.
Yeah.
So I can understand his views, but I really am one of the things that I think we need to work on and focus our energy on is not making guns more expensive or harder to get for everyone, or, you know, because obviously if you raise liability insurance or if you raise the cost of guns, it's going to affect different people of different socioeconomic status differently in a greater percentage for someone who obviously doesn't make as much money.
Hmm.
So I don't think that's fair, and I don't think that's a good direction to head in. I do think that we do need to have more responsible gun owners. And I agree with you, in fact, that the parent of the child wasn't very responsible because he let his child have the gun or have a gun and he wasn't ready to use it. And also, I kind of agree with the Facebook, Marsha, with the parent needs to be, you know, more, that leads right into where the parent needs to be more responsible or more on the front line. The video games seem to be pervasive with most children. So I think if you're going to have guns in your home and you're going to have those video games where all you have to do is hit the reset button when you act badly, you know, I think you ought to train, you know, everyone in your household how to use everything that's in your household responsibly, guns, whatever else it is that you have.
Hmm.
You know? So I think that there's less focus on parents showing their children how and how not to.
Yeah.
Around guns.
You know, getting to the video games, Joe Donahue and I on the roundtable, yeah, I think it was yesterday morning, talked about this. It was the question of the day. And I'm still not convinced. Well, I don't know. I'd like to see the evidence on video games. There are some horrible ones. I mean, absolutely horrible ones in my estimation out there. But
I agree. Yeah.
Is it the person who is predisposed to let go and be sucked into that? You know, would 99.9% of the kids not be sucked into that? I want to see more data before I pin it on things like that.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess, like, yes, and, you know, before video games, they were blaming it on TV violence and movie violence, stuff like that, but now the video, you know, I don't know. They do want to blame it on somebody else but themselves, it seems like, you know, like, if you don't act well or you don't behave well and, you know, people tend to blame it on the influence on the stuff that's around them. But if your friend doesn't do something well, then you kind of blame him. But if it's you, hold on.
You make a good point. Jason, thanks a lot. Yep. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. I believe, I'm having trouble here. Is it Jules? In Hillsdale, how are you?
Hi, Ray. How you doing?
Good.
Okay, I'm going to stick my comments to gun control specifically, although I will say two things. First, one, We have far too many guns in this country. Two, there's a culture of violence that just has to be changed at some point. But your earlier caller, Yuri, I believe it was, in fact, I was just dialing in when he called and didn't realize he was going to talk about liability insurance. But, you know, to own a car responsibly, we're required to carry liability insurance. There are automobile accidents. Somebody has to cover that. We know there are accidents with guns. What's the problem with requiring liability insurance if you're going to be a gun owner?
Well, okay.
Same difference as far as I'm concerned. And, again, to be responsible, we consider it perfectly responsible to have to do that with a car.
Right.
What's the difference with a gun?
But by the same token, to use a really an insensitive term, if a nut goes and shoots 30 people, no amount of liability insurance is going to bring those people back.
Correct. But the liability insurance will tend to restrict somewhat the number of guns that are out there, because some people will think twice about buying a gun if they have to lay down $1,000 for insurance or $500 or whatever the policy costs.
Right.
So
but
it's more of a control measure. But again, it also brings it to one consciousness in terms of, look, what am I doing here? What have I got? What do I have to be responsible for?
Yeah.
And some way to increase that awareness, because we just treat guns too cavalierly.
Okay. Hey, Jules, thanks so much for calling. 1-800-348-2551. Let's see. Who do we have here? It's Andrew in Williamstown. Andrew, you're on Vox Pop.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I just wanted to make a comment about the mental health issue.
Yeah.
That people really haven't spoken about too much, because in looking at the most recent shooting in town and with the shooting in the movie theater,
the
two most recent ones, both of these people are, you know, upper middle class young men.
Okay.
And both of them are clearly mentally disturbed. And there hasn't been much discussion about how, on a background check basis, you are going to be able to evaluate whether or not somebody should own a gun if they're going to be voluntarily required to disclose their status.
I'm sorry, so, you lost the word. Did you say mental status?
Right. For example, I mean, I don't own, I've shot a gun, but I don't own one, so I'm not familiar with specifically within at least in Massachusetts the questions on a background check form. But I would think going forward that if we're concerned about people's mental health, we're going to have to ask some hard questions about how intrusive we're willing to be, about whether or not somebody has a psychiatric history, whether or not anybody in their household, like for example, the boy who shot these poor little kids lived with his mother.
Yeah.
And the mother owned the guns.
Yeah.
So should, as a policy matter going forward, should an applicant for a gun license have to disclose whether or not anybody in their immediate family suffers from any mental health disorders?
Interesting.
And if they do, what are the privacy implications for that in licensing this person? Because it seems to me that in some respects, I mean, I hate to be in politics here, but it seems to me in this specific case in Newtown, the mother of this boy in some way enabled him by taking him out shooting and making him feel powerful and all that sort of stuff.
Hmm.
So, and those questions really need to be asked. I mean, apart from the gun control issue, I mean, personally, I don't see why anybody needs to have an assault weapon to exercise their Second Amendment rights, but reasonable people can disagree about that. But
yeah.
Going forward on a policy basis, we're going to have to ask some hard questions about how we figure out who should get guns and who shouldn't. Like, for example, the kid out in Aurora, I mean, he was ordering guns and ammo over the internet and they're being shipped to his apartment over FedEx.
Yeah.
There has to be some sort of database where law enforcement personnel can tell pretty quickly whether or not someone is stockpiling ammunition, because it's going to tell, almost like on a profiling basis, a professional that, hey, we should go talk to this guy to see if he's okay.
But, you know, that's a thorny and difficult issue. Now, if you look at people who make meth, they'll get whatever drug it is you can buy at CVS or one of the pharmacies, that it's behind the counter now. You have to ask for it. But they'll go to 50 of them or 100 different stores.
Right, that's a great point, but I thought about that too. But if you think about that, at least in Massachusetts, I don't know what it is in New York, but if I go buy Robitussin, I have to write my name down on a form.
Yeah.
If you have to do that for cough syrup, why don't you have to do that for ammunition?
Well, okay. Andrew, great point. Thank you. I appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. 1-800-348-2551. Bob in Poughkeepsie. Bob, you're on.
Yes. Pleasure talking to you, Ray.
Thank you. Nice to have you here.
I want to make two quick points. First point is you've got all these very, very large gangs in the major cities, Mas 13, the Latin Kings, Bloods, Crips. They're armed to the teeth, and none of those weapons are registered. And I think disarming the public or keeping them, preventing them from having an appropriate weapon in their home for defense is not a good thing. But the second point I'd like to make, more importantly, is had the kid's mother put trigger locks on those guns, he would not have been able to use them.
Hmm. Yeah, well, getting back to your first point, it's a great point. The genie is out of the bottle. There are millions of guns out there.
Oh, they just had today they announced on the radio that the murder rate in Chicago is out of control, and that's mostly those gangs.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. You know, Gabby Giffords and her husband announced this pack, if you will, today to support gun control. But they also are quick to admit that they are supporters of the Second Amendment and own two guns themselves for defense. And I assume it's for the very reasons that you just said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been shooting guns since I was 7 years old. My uncle taught me to shoot when I was young. And I've only one time in my entire life did I ever have to display a weapon to discourage somebody. Two guys tried to carjack my car several years ago.
Yeah.
And I just displayed the weapon. I didn't point it at anybody, and they just took off.
Mm.
So I've never had an issue other than that.
Well, Bob, you make a point, and I think the point is that it is much less cut and dried of an issue, and there are so many facets to it. And, Bob, thanks for bringing your side to the table.
Again, trigger locks.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Let's go to, is it Mag in Vermont?
Yes, that's right.
How are you? Welcome. You're on.
Oh, thanks. The issue that I want to bring up is that, and I'm very surprised that nobody's speaking more about this, is that most of these shootings, the shooters were on pills. They were mentally unstable and they had pills from Merck or Pfizer, and some of these pills are incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
And they're mind-altering. And I have people in my own family, direct people in my family, that are on a lot of these different medications.
Prescriptions, you mean, yes?
The prescription pills, right, and, to help them mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And it really alters who they are. Their actions and their comments and things are unrecognizable to me when they're on some of the things they say. And I think it's a real concern that most of these shooters, if not all of them, in the past several years, have all been on these medications. That might be something that they need to look into more so than who does or doesn't have a gun.
Well, I hope they look into all the aspects. I'm not sure every person who has done something like this in the last 20 years has been on some sort of prescription meds, but I think it's a valid thing to look into, that's for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Mag, thanks a lot. 1-800-348-2551 is the phone number. Beth in Montgomery. Beth, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but this is true. The Second Amendment stands for the possibility that at some point the government will become irrational and prevent people from obtaining their freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
And if the army has assault weapons, people should have it too. Now, I'm not a gun person, believe me, but I don't see. I think our forefathers actually saw a time where this could happen. As it is now, that you had a speaker on before who was talking about when people vote in the majority, governments don't listen. They do what they want to do anyway, state, local governments, when it comes to corporations. So, I mean, the Homeland Security and all these private acts that are limiting our freedom that we don't really know about. But the second point is that these people who have committed these horrendous acts have been sick. No one goes out of their way, a young person, to kill so many people. They're not normal. You can't tell me they were normal. And as a retired teacher, I can tell you this, and I'm sure a lot of teachers will agree, we can see in the classroom people, young people, mostly males, but some females, who are in need of mental health and treatment. And
now, how long
it's not being done.
How long were you a teacher, Beth?
34 years.
Okay, let's go back to when you started and then take it to the point when your career as a teacher ended, or I don't know if you're still going today, but point of the matter is, anecdotally, did you see a difference in general in the general demeanor of your students from back then. And I'm not talking about being polite or wearing ties, but just the mental social state.
Yes. Well, that's what has happened is also it's a breakdown of the families. This is the problem in inner cities. I mean, the gangs do have guns, that's true. But people wouldn't join gangs if they had values and religion and a family life to cling to.
Yeah.
I think that's what the gangs provide for them. I mean, I think it's a breakdown in society, too. That's one thing I've noticed.
Beth, parents, I'm exactly with you, 100% on that point. That is what I said earlier.
Yeah, I was going to say, parents are not doing their job. Parents want everyone to raise their children. I already raised my child. He's a lawyer in New York City. I did a good job. But I was a helicopter mom, and I think everyone should be a helicopter parent. The point is that in Columbine, they were in a garage. Didn't a parent decide to go in and see what those kids were doing?
Well, you make a point.
And where did the kid from Aurora get the money? And another thing, you can't tell me the parents of the Newtown shooter did not know he was a sick puppy. Because, I mean, really, let's face it, he had to be sick.
All right.
And they knew it.
Beth, thank you so much, and thanks for that perspective. We got a break here, and I appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. More of your calls coming up as we hit the home stretch on Vox Pop. On the way.
Support for WAMC comes from Reform Pilates Studios, Saratoga Springs, teaching Ramona's Pilates, providing a fully equipped studio with Gratz apparatus, private, semi-private, and small group classes, reformyourbody.com. Capcom Federal Credit Union, offering home mortgages, auto loans, checking, financial planning, and more, capcomfcu.org. And Capital Region Language Center, hosting an open house Thursday, January 10th at their Albany location, on-site registration for classes in 10 different languages, crlcalbany.org.
Phone number to call on Vox Pop is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. I found out today, I was not even thinking about it, and Joe mentioned it on the roundtable this morning, our fund drive starts February 4th. Did you know that, Zach the engineer? We kick the whole thing off at 6 a.m. on February 4th. We hope you are there with us. You can, of course, make a pledge at WAMC.org and put it in the lockbox. It'll all count on day one of the drive. But, if you like what you hear on this radio station, and if you like most of it and some of it you don't like, but some of it you really like, that's what it's all about. We're a community here. Let's go to John in Waterford. John.
Hi. Mental health is a problem, but it's a problem all over the world. And if you look at Europe, for instance, they have a lot less religion, which people have been talking about and stuff, but they have less access to high-capacity weapons.
Okay.
And those things, they have the same society we do, but those things don't happen there. And it's mainly the,
It happened in Finland,
weapons.
Right?
Yeah, well, how many times? I mean, it's not like America, which it's happening every other day, it seems. I mean, we have a lot more gun violence in this country.
It happened in England, and, I mean, not too long ago.
Well, yeah, but not to the degree it's happened here.
Okay.
And you know what I mean? And as far as personal defense, the best defense weapon is a shotgun. It's intimidating. You know, you're not going to kill a bunch of people. And, I mean, you know what I mean? You're not going to go out and kill dozens of people with it. And the fact is that everybody has the potential to go off in a certain situation. You know, look at all the crimes of passion that happen.
Well.
And if you've got a gun with a lot of bullets in it, and you find your wife doing something or your husband doing something, you just might shoot more than a couple people.
Oh, boy. And that's a blues song right there. John, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Patrick Donges, our producer, is back. How are you, Patrick?
Hi, Ray. With social media is abuzz with this topic. Pat on Facebook says, if there are more regulations, more folks will think twice before registering his or her weapons. This seems like a quick answer that does very little for the underlying problem. And Pat says, I don't have a television, so I'm not sure how much the Chinese school attacks have been the news, but guns are not the only thing that can harm, and there's Chinese attacks with knives, I believe.
Yeah.
Paula on Facebook says, the gentleman who lost his son to a gun accident had a great idea about taxing guns and, by extension, ammunition and related paraphernalia. Funds collected could go to aggressive gun collection costs and developing reasonable legislation. Robert on Facebook says, Americans love to embrace their arms, but rarely use their arms to embrace.
Ooh.
Christine on Facebook says, the culture of violence in this country is so widespread and pervasive into every corner of our lives, I don't think most people even have any idea how to change that. And Scott on Facebook says, it isn't just guns, it is many things, including mental illnesses, video games, bullying, etc. Many assault weapons are just decorated hunting rifles. It doesn't matter if the guns are banned or priced or out of reach. Our Second Amendment rights will be taken away. All the measures will impact legal owners more than criminals. If our gun rights are taken, what other rights will follow?
And now, you know, may I just say that
please,
most of the time when we get items from our social media organs, it comes on a piece of paper. Today, just now, Tom Joe.
A computer appeared.
He brought a laptop in,
well,
so that's one way to do it.
So we've got a few more here. Bernard on Facebook says, I'm tired of people who say people who kill are on psychiatric meds. I think people who feel they need hundreds of guns should be on meds and under observation and without weapons. And then we have a couple from Twitter, which is nice to see. Colab76 on Twitter says, address the real societal issues, family structure, psychotropic drugs, personal accountability, etc. Hashtag it takes a village. John Gamble says, why aren't you discussing the role of mental health? Well, John, we have been kind of getting in.
And personal responsibility.
Certainly.
These are all things I think are very important in this discussion.
And then Colab came back again and said, last caller wants to make it so only the rich can afford firearms. Many poor people put food on their tables via hunting.
Okay, now he's bringing in, now Tom Job is bringing in an iPhone.
We have a phone.
iPhone.
All right.
What next? How about a desktop computer?
Well,
roll it in on a trolley?
This is interesting because this is something that I've been thinking about recently that Polly wrote on WAMC.org. Chris Rock did a comedy routine a few years ago where he joked that if bullets cost $5,000 a piece, a shooter would stop and think, hey, is this worth wasting $5,000? And that's just another point on, you know, charging more for ammunition or taxing ammunition or guns and ammunition and paraphernalia.
But, I mean, if some of our callers and some of the people who have tweeted are correct and that it's society in some sort of decay or in some state.
Which is what you espouse as well.
Exactly. If we took all the guns away, somebody who's ready to go is going to hop in his F-150 and run over you.
Well, I mean, along with the gun violence last year, we did also see people in Florida eating each other, too, at one point, right? So it's not like guns are the only thing that crazy people, you know, the only avenue for them to, not crazy people, but people with, you know, with
I think, you know, once in a while you can
say crazy
and it's okay. You know, Patrick Donges is our producer. Tom Job is one of the new media mavens, and frankly, you know, he's got to be tired from bringing all this hardware in the studio. So, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
Come on back if you want to bring a mainframe or something in a little while.
Sure thing.
1-800-348-2551 is the number. Alan in upstate New York. You're on, Alan.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to just point out that, I can pull a bunch of calls together. For example, the attack that just occurred in China. I think when I last read it, there were 22 injuries and zero deaths.
Okay.
With that knife attack, right? So, I mean, I love guns. I play Call of Duty Black Ops every night, and I love it, and it's all fun. But I think we've proven as a society that we can't handle this right? I mean, talk about this right to bear arms. That was written at a time when, you know, there was no military or police presence to protect you. You had the right to protect yourself and your property and so forth. I mean, to hide behind that piece of paper is, to me, irresponsible. I mean,
so what would you do? You'd ban all the guns and say, turn them in?
Gotta go. They have to go, man. I mean, why are we dancing around this topic? I would hate to see them go, and I would love to say that only the bad guys will then have guns. But I would challenge with this. We banned automatic weapons in either 83 or 86, I can't recall. And you almost never, ever hear about a death occurring at the hand of an automatic weapon. In the hood, it's always, you know, handheld semi-automatics. With all these, you know, like with the kindergarten class, it was an AR-15. I mean, I mean, 100 people have said it so far. Large capacity magazines are going to play a role. Statistically speaking, if a crazy person walks into a school with a knife, you know, yes, he may cause some injuries, but statistically speaking, you know, we've proven that the capacity to shoot with a gun is going to just kill more people than with a knife.
But now, before I let you go, Alan, two questions.
Yeah.
One,
yeah.
Now you say you like guns and you play Black Ops Call of Duty every night, but that, of course, that's a video game. Do you own actual guns?
No, I have kids in the house. I couldn't take that chance.
So you love video games. It's not guns that you love. It's video.
Well, no, I've shot guns all my life. Okay. I do enjoy it. I enjoy, if I felt like I needed to buy one to protect, you know, my family, I would. I think the risk doesn't outweigh the benefit.
Okay. Well, going back to a caller earlier, a lady who called
right.
and said, you know, when the Second Amendment was framed and written, they were talking about people who maybe someday would have to rise up against their own government. Now,
right.
we can't see into the crystal ball, but
right.
don't you think that if you're somebody who says, well, maybe someday the government is going to be knocking on our door, if they take all the guns away, isn't that going to send you red lights flashing in your head?
I don't know, man. I think that's kind of paranoid. And no offense to you, of course. I don't know. That's such a minuscule eventuality, or the potential for that happening, that the government is going to be kind of like V for Vendetta, where, you know, we go into a lawless police state. You know, I think, you know, we are a democratic society, right? I mean, it would take a very long time to reach a place where the U.S. government is so heavy-handed that they're going to...
I could not agree with you more. I could not, but... We've seen it happen. We've seen it happen around the world, though. I mean, that is the point, right?
You know, sure, but I would rather take my chances with that than take my chances knowing that, you know, there may be a gun in 20 of the 40 cars around me in this parking lot.
Yeah, well, a great call, Alan. Thanks a lot, and we appreciate it. Let's go to Chris in Albany. Chris.
Great.
Hey.
Specifically in reference to some of the things that were said, you can't buy guns over the Internet. You can order them, but they're shipped to a federal firearms license dealer.
Okay.
You have to go fill out the background check, the FBI background check, they call in, blah, blah, blah.
Is that a federal law, or is that vary from state to state?
No. Well, it may, but it's a federal law.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's through the FBI, so it's a national thing.
Right.
On top of that, if you are a New York State resident and you, for example, want to buy a shotgun that I own, I am able to sell you that shotgun if I believe you're not a felon,
right.
Prohibited person, so on. So that's the loophole that's spoken about, not the Internet purchases, because that's separate.
Okay.
Also, I'd like to say that up until like the late 60s, you could walk into a hardware store and pick up a handgun out of a drum, pay cash, and walk out.
Yeah.
You could order a 20-millimeter anti-tank weapon sent to your house in Life magazine. I think Sears and Roebuck used to have them in their magazines. These are literally weapons that are designed to pierce tank armor.
Right.
And the point is, and I'm not making an argument for ownership or anything, but the simple point is that in our society, we didn't have the issues we have today. Machine guns were regulated in 1936 by the Supreme Court, I think in Miller, and then in 1986, new machine guns, 1986 forward, new machine guns are banned for ownership. But you can still get what's called a transferable, not New York State, but you can still get what's called a transferable machine gun, which is a federally licensed through the NFA. It's called machine guns. So you can own machine guns. And since machine guns have been regulated since 1936, I think there's three instances where they've been used in crimes, and one was by a police officer where he killed his wife and a relative. So the point is that the most lethal weapons are not necessarily the ones that are chosen. In this case, people are choosing AR-15s, they are choosing assault-style rifles, but our national crime rate, even on gun violence, has been going down over the past 20 years. So although these events are heinous and stand out because of media coverage, they do not represent the average or even, they don't represent the average gun owner. I mean, you know, you have 3.5 to 4 million AR-15s in civilian hands that are known about, and yet, you know, think about how often, how frequently they're used. I mean, they are used in heinous ways. They're egregious. I completely agree. But the numbers don't pan out on the whole banning idea and, you know, getting rid of them because they're the worst thing possible. I think it's an overreaction that ignores the history.
Well, Chris, thank you very much. And I'd love to get all the sides covered. And, boy, I'll tell you, the listeners always seem to bring it all to the table. Ed in Ackard. Ed, you're on.
Hi, yeah. I'd just like to point out something about the Second Amendment, and that is that people like George Washington were basically aristocrats, and they wanted to have a well-regulated militia to protect the government from the people. They weren't really looking at automatic weapons that didn't even exist back then, single-shot loaded muskets mainly. And that amendment wasn't to arm the people against the government. It was more the other way around.
Okay.
And the other point I want to make in that same context is that if you just look at the people that think, oh, all these automatic weapons are going to protect us from the black helicopters and all that stuff, you can't even get them out to a protest rally, like, for instance, tomorrow in Albany, the rally against fracking at Governor Cuomo's State of the State speech, that, by the way, everybody should come to that because pro-frackers are going to be there, and if we're not, but that's a little bit of a digression.
Yeah, that's a digression.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just absolute insanity, and the elephant on the table is the huge funding that the NRA gets from the gun industry. Imagine if there was an organization like the NRA to legalize pot. You know, something that's arguably harmless or minimal harm compared to the crazy gun violence in this country.
Hmm.
Well, then it would have been legalized 30 years ago. And so it's big money. It's weapons that weren't even dreamed of back in the days when the Second Amendment was written. And it was written to protect the government from the people. Let all those gun nuts that think they're going to protect themselves from big government, which, by the way, has nuclear weapons and tanks. I mean, why not legalize nuclear weapons? Isn't that provided for in the Second Amendment?
Well,
Let those people get off of their behinds and get out to some rallies. Right now, there's an army of energy industry people basically just taking over, and there isn't a damn thing we can do about it. Let's see if some of these good old boys, you know, take out their automatic weapons
when they start drilling. Let's leave it there.
All right.
Thanks, Ed. We appreciate it very much. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go over to James in Wilton. James, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Well, I'm a very big avid hunter.
Okay.
I do use an assault rifle for hunting.
Okay.
I use an SKS. You know, I modified the clip to accept 3 rounds, which it is, you know, required on a semi-automatic. You know, we have a lot of gun control. It's not the guns. I mean, people keep going facing and go, oh, it's the guns, it's the guns. I'm a handgun owner. I'm probably, you know, licensed in the state.
Yeah.
I was in the state police for a little while. I left that. And, you know, these people are blaming the guns. I mean, look at what the problem is. It's not the guns that is the problem. It's the people who, you know, who can get it. Like, first of all, the guy in Connecticut, God bless the children, you know, it's a shame, but he stole the guns from his mom.
Right. Now, I agree with you to a point, but I think the great English comedian Eddie Izzard's line is appropriate. He said, you know, they say guns don't kill people, people kill people. And he said, right, but, you know, the guns help.
Of course, but so does a car. So does a knife.
I see your point entirely. I see it, yep.
You know, I mean, we've got a lot of regulations as it is. All right, I can understand some more of the regulations. If you want the AR-15s, great, you know, you don't need a clip with 30 rounds. I agree with that. But don't try to regulate everything. You know, for the good people out there like myself and many others.
Yeah.
I have children in my home. My guns are locked with trigger locks in a safe.
And they are presumably not loaded, right?
Oh, absolutely not. The ammo is in a separate cabinet, locked separately.
Which is the law, right?
It's not the law, but, you know.
Best practice.
It's good practice.
Yeah.
I have a young son who comes with me to the range. I take him, I teach him the proper way and the respect.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Know,
I have relatives, you know, same way, exactly the same way, and they take it with extreme seriousness, the care, and I think a responsible gun owner is in fact the most responsible of all. They understand what they have in their hands.
Right. So I mean, all these people are trying to, you know, say get rid of all the guns. Well, you know, how much does hunting bring to New York State where I live?
Yeah.
Millions every year. Millions and millions of dollars.
James, we're out of time. But thanks a lot for bringing your points to the table. And thanks to everybody. And thanks to Jason, Tom, Bruce, and Herbert, who didn't get in. Apologies there. Another popular segment here today. And thanks, everybody, for great contributions.
Support comes from Curran Compliance Services, LLC, Greenwich, New York, providing legal and consulting services to life insurers in a changing regulatory climate. CurranCompliance.com. Weawaka, Lake George, New York, an enrichment and revitalization historic lakefront retreat created by and for women since 1903. WIAWAKA.org for events. And Berkshire Museum, Pittsfield, Massachusetts, Bats, Creatures of the Night, opening January 19th, featuring lifelike models, video, and hands-on interactive stations to learn about the only flying mammal, BerkshireMuseum.org. All right, well, that's it. Thank you very much for being with us. Zach Malloy was our engineer. Phones answered by Bruce Herbach, our producer. Patrick Donges, also thanks to Thomas Job for coming in with the various computers and helping us out today. I'm Ray Graff, and the old clock on the wall says a news update coming up. Enjoy.